Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
These people need to know who the hell's in charge here. What the rules are.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers episode, oh my God, it's been so long, 191, Jamie?
That's it, 191.
Oh my God, thank you everyone for being so patient. This is our first episode in like 7 years, I think. I'm not sure. I don't even know what day it is at this point anymore.
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a very hot minute, a hot hour, I guess. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran in the Morning Show. That's Jamie from Light FM. Hi, Jamie, how are you?
I'm great, how are you?
Good. So, apologies. A lot of people were asking, where's the new episode? What are you doing? Where's the new episode? And I said, oh, we're going to do one next week for two episodes. And then we didn't do that one. And then people were like, oh my God, Mips was back. Where's the new episode? And we didn't do an episode. So, I took off last week, a personal week, a little extra time I needed. So, I did that, took care of some business. And so, last week was supposed to be the catch-up week, and then it wasn't. So, it's all my fault. It's not Jamie's. She was prepared, ready to go. She was sitting by her laptop and her iPad and her microphone, and I never told her. So she's just been sitting there for 3 weeks.
How do you know my exact setup? That's it.
Yeah, well, we do a podcast together. You should
listen.
That
is true.
Speaking of not listening to your own podcast, which I always accuse you of, I do the Brooklyn Boys podcast, which many of you guys listen to, and if you don't, you should. I think it's fun. But Skiri, my co-host on the show, Skiri Jones, he constantly does things that we joke about being bad. Then or things that we say like, oh, you can't say that. It's bad grammar. And he goes, oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And then he goes ahead and says them. And I wonder if he's listening to the podcast.
Probably not.
I know I listen to my podcasts. I'm just wondering if my two co-hosts listen to their podcasts. So, Jamie, you're not alone.
I guess. Okay, good. I'm not on my own island.
That's right. I think you should do a podcast with Skiri where neither one of you has any idea what you talked about.
That would be a hot mess express.
And then every week you sit down, you go, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. What have we talked about? I don't know. And then you talk about the same thing again because you don't remember the last episode.
Probably.
I vaguely remember the last episode. So before I connected our audio, I had to go on AMC and look at the last three episodes and then listen to our last podcast to see what it was we talked about. Now, the last episode we did of Walkers and Talkers was when Daniel starts, losing his mind and takes the guns. That's how long
it's
been.
That was sad. Yeah. Wow. God, that feels forever ago.
So I'm going to give you guys a little bit of news, and then we're going to recap briefly the Grace episode with the baby. Spoilers coming up. The JD episode where, spoilers.
Yep.
Right? JD stands for John Dory. And we're going to talk about the MIPS episode.
Love it.
Which is called Mother. And I think a lot of people thought when the title was released a few months ago, oh my God, Mother, it's got to be. Madison's back.
Yeah.
If they try to bring Madison back now after this episode, I have a theory how they might be able to do it. So I'll throw that at you as well. I have a theory.
I want to hear this.
I have a theory why they can't bring her back now. And then another theory why I think maybe they can. Because I think MIPS played a bigger asshole than maybe we realize. So we'll talk about Mips. He's okay. So Mips, if you don't know, is my pal Sebastian yes. Sazi, and he plays Cole. Played Cole, and I kind of hinted that he was coming back because I kind of knew a little bit. Like he hinted, he said, "Oh, you may see me again on a TV show you like." He said, "You may see me in a vehicle you like." Vehicle is, I mean, some kind of project. Show business project.
Okay.
So he didn't say TV show or movie. He said in a vehicle. So I was like, oh, because he was in Superman versus Batman.
Yeah, you said he was in a lot of great
stuff. Right. So I thought, well, is he going to be in another? He dies in that one, by the way. He dies in a lot of the things he does.
He dies in most things he's
in. He was on Blue Bloods. I don't know if he died on Blue Bloods. Don't tweet me, but he's not on it anymore. He may have died. I think he did die. It doesn't matter. Anyway, he's really good at dying. Spoiler. So I wasn't sure if it was a one-off, how long, so we'll talk about it, but I'm DMing him going, oh my God, you're back. I think I know where you're going to be back. He never told me. And then he posted a picture of himself as Cole holding the gun, the rifle, on the Thursday before Fear came out. Cause on Thursday, as you guys know, it comes out on AMC Premiere.
Yes.
And so that's when he was able to announce it. So I'm thinking, yes, he's back on the show. This is going to be great. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. I did ask him for a present, and he sent me a present. We'll talk about that a little bit later as well. So let's touch on the news real quick. The USS Pennsylvania, which is the submarine, which we finally get to see back on the show, which we saw in the first episode or two, that we knew the keys were for.
Yeah.
That, and I mentioned this, I don't know, like 100 weeks ago. It's the setting for an upcoming spinoff that'll be only on digital. I don't know if that means YouTube or streaming only, but it's only in digital format. A show called Dead in the Water, which is a great name.
Love that.
It tells the story of a submarine crew fighting for survival, cut off from the surface world just as the apocalypse hits, becoming a nuclear-fueled, walker-filled death trap with no way out.
That sounds absolutely terrifying.
Right, so so obviously everyone, it's been years since the apocalypse started on Fear. I think it's been about 5 years, right? 4 to 5 years?
That sounds about right.
I read an article this week that said it's been 3 years, but it can't be 3 years because Morgan and Dwight came over after the apocalypse was about 5 or 6 years old, right? Because Fear, The Walking Dead was at least 5 or 6 years old. Because after the time jump, now they're 12 years. So the time jump was 6 and then another year is 7. So maybe it's 5.5, 6 years now into the apocalypse.
Okay.
And that's about how long World Beyond. World Beyond is a number of years as well. So though you know everybody on the submarine's dead because it's locked, right? So everyone's dead. And so when Morgan and Teddy and the whole gang show up, when we get to that episode to talk about it, obviously, there's walkers on board. The crew is there. But this digital series is going to show us how they died. Now, you're locked in a tube. Where are you going to go? You're eventually going to run out of air. You're going to run out of food.
Yeah.
And if the captain dies, you can't surface, so you can't go up for air. So they all died. Yeah. So they're all dead. But we're going to see how that happened. A picture came out of Mercer. Now, Mercer is the lead trooper at the Commonwealth. He's the guy that wears the red outfit that we thought was maybe the guy with the weapons on The Walking Dead, but that was actually Elijah, who was Maggie's
locker,
friend.
Right.
In the locker room, we saw the red armor hanging. So they released a picture. Michael James Shaw is the actor playing Mercer, and a picture came out of him wearing the badass red uniform.
Woo!
So nice to see a little The Walking Dead in our lives, even though we have to wait until August. I think it's August.
Yes, August.
Again, I should listen to this podcast because I know I've said it. So,
which they because we're always used to an October start,
right.
It's never happened.
Yep, exactly. And Funko, 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 they make the little pop dolls.
Oh, I have dogs sitting right next to me. You know.
Well, I did not know that, but they are releasing season 10 of Funko is coming out. There'll be a new Negan. And I'm glad you brought it up, Daryl with dog.
No, stop.
Yes.
Okay, I have to get it.
Okay.
I have dog.
Don't leave now. Don't leave now.
I'm
we have a podcast to do.
One.
Don't leave
I
the body.
Shiny objects.
Shiny object. And then remind me, I want to talk about a possible huge time jump on Fear the Walking Dead. Okay?
Really?
Yeah, there's rumors that they may do a big time jump and catch up a lot closer to The Walking
Dead. Oh, man. That would be wild.
But then they can't cross over World Beyond unless World Beyond has a time jump. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if they're time jumping so that more people can cross over, if eventually Morgan can go back. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, let's talk about the Grace episode.
Okay.
So I don't know how Grace... I don't know. I guess Grace... You know, listen, when you're pregnant, and I only know this because my wife was pregnant 3 times, and I I think I'm the father at least once.
Yes.
You feel the baby kick most of the time. You feel movement. You kind of know the baby is alive. Now, look, you may know differently. There may be women who unfortunately have suffered the way Grace suffered in the episode. My condolences. You may not always be able to tell, but, you know, Grace has been through a lot of trauma between being thrown down and shot at and put in a lineup and radiation. And right. So the whole episode was, which is 6:12, was about Grace and Morgan having to travel to get medical help because June left after killing Ginny. Spoiler, Ginny's dead.
She's dead, right in the head.
So it's sort of June's fault that they had to get in a car or a truck. Spoiler, the truck breaks down because that always happens.
It's guaranteed to happen.
Right. Now, I don't remember if the tires got shot or they ran over something, whatever it was. Or they were being chased by Riley and his men. Because the episode started with them in a barn and they're outside. So I don't remember. It's been so long. But anyway, the car didn't make it. They're trapped in a barn. And Grace is, you know, feels like the childbirth is coming. You know, she's going to give birth.
Yeah.
And so Morgan has to fight off the crew, the Riley's men, who have guns. They're shooting at the place. They're shooting out windows.
There's a lot of them.
3 or 4 of them come into the barn. Grace is in like a stack of hay, like, you know, in the horse pen or whatever, in the stable.
Yeah.
And in typical bad karate movie fashion, even though Riley has a gun, they come at Morgan one at a time so he can fight them off with a stick.
I know.
He kills them all. He kills them all.
Exactly.
Right, because he does. He's, you know, they're the red shirts. Then Riley comes at him.
Except Riley.
He puts the stick through his shoulder, doesn't kill him, and Riley runs back outside to get his gun. Why did he come in without the gun? I don't understand that. And why didn't Morgan kill him?
Doesn't make sense.
He's the bad guy. This is such bad writing. You kill the bad guy, and then the henchmen are worthless.
And he's the main bad guy.
And you put a stick through his shoulder. How do you recover from that in a non-surgical apocalypse? Look, everyone's getting shot, so who am I to ask? But you put a stick through his shoulder, and you let him run out, and you don't go after him. I didn't get that. Then he comes back and he forces Morgan at gunpoint to give him the keys, which we know are for a nuclear submarine. And we know they want to blow up the world or just blow up Texas. Grace yells at him and says, give him the keys. Give him the goddamn keys.
Yes.
So he gives Riley the keys. Right. Selfishly, they may have cost the lives of a million people. We don't know yet. Thanks, Grace. And so anyway, he runs off with the keys, Riley. And Morgan delivers the baby. Unfortunately, the baby comes out stillborn, right? It's terrible.
Yeah, very sad.
I know it would have been horrific. How does the baby not be a zombie, not be a walker or a crawler? Would it be a crawler? Crawlers and talkers?
Ooh.
Right? Am I right?
Good. Crawlers and talkers. You're sick and I love it. I didn't even think about that.
Is there some way that, unless the radiation that Grace was exposed to killed it in a way that, or the radiation killed the Walker disease, in which case is that a cure? Is the radiation a cure for the Walker disease?
Ooh.
Now, I know they didn't want to make it more horrific. The scene was powerful enough. By the way, I skipped over a whole part. Grace hallucinates the whole episode that she has a grown-up daughter named Athena, and that she sees into the future, and she walks towards the light, and she thinks she's dying, and that Morgan's going to give birth to Athena. But in actuality, she was walking out of the, you know, towards the light to get out. And she lived and she was actually witnessing Athena's last moments. Now, I knew that baby wasn't going to make it because she spent the whole episode saying, she's going to be the bond that brings us all together. She's going to be the bond. And I thought, how's Morgan going to raise a baby in a dam in the apocalypse? Rick had a whole group of people. I get it, to raise Judith. But eventually they ended up at Alexandria. There was food and housing and... I just didn't see a you know, bringing a baby
everything
in was
she
a
needed.
Was a smart idea. And where's the other baby? Have we seen the other baby? The sheriff's wife or the sergeant, whatever his role was, the Ginny's man that ran off and they went to the dam to have the baby. That woman and the baby are where?
Oh, yeah, whatever.
They're not dead, right? They must be living there, but they just haven't been on the show. I guess pandemic. They're cutting down on showing the cast.
We haven't seen them. Yeah.
So I guess we could have been like, sense. Oh, we have two babies now. But unfortunately, Grace's baby did not make it. Athena, the actress, was a little annoying. So, you know,
really sad.
Whatever. And then they painted this whole future where Charlie's like a doctor's assistant to June. Al went off to find Isabel.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought she went off to find Isabel. What, 15 years ago? Your daughter's like a teenager. How long did she just go off?
I was going to say a really long time ago.
And Alicia rebuilt the stadium.
Yeah.
So a lot allegedly happened, but it didn't happen because it was all a dream.
And Dwight and Sherry have a family and kids.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a weird couple. I don't like her. She's got to go. Sherry. Now she's back.
Really?
One of the episodes, she's like, all right, let's try this. Well, all right, fine. When she came to peace and, well, yeah.
She's got to make up her mind.
Yeah, well, I guess now she realizes that the anger was not because of Negan. The anger was because she's all good now. So that's the Grace episode. Overall, I thought it was okay. People were like, oh, my God, so powerful, so emotional. Yeah, the last scene was emotional. But there was so much, oh, come on. I just thought there was a lot of, oh, come on. What did you think of the
episode? I'm not going to lie. I'm probably going to get a lot of hate. It was one of my least favorite episodes ever.
I don't know if it least favorite, like even less than that crazy woman, the evil woman, the crazy old lady.
Oh, well, that was really weird. ODB?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. ODB was that whole half season. That was just the half season was terrible. So it wasn't the
that
Grace
was,
episode.
Actually, now that you bring that up, that was strangely bizarre.
Is her name Marcy, Margie, Mary? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Don't tweet us. That woman was terrible.
Oh, good. Something like that.
ODB is what I called her. Yeah. It's just terrible. Terrible. The whole ugh, terrible. So this season's been great. It was okay. It was a whole episode of where, you know, and I knew that I just had a feeling the kid was not going to be okay because she, you know, she was just like getting thrown around all the time. You can't do that. But why it wasn't Walker baby and seen out of Alien coming out of her belly, you know.
Yes.
That was crying zombie.
I have a lot of questions now.
See, that went cry right into her. Yeah. All right. So before we get into the JD episode, let's take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Jesse McCartney, and I played Reed on Fear the Walking Dead. And you're listening to Walkers and Talkers with David Brody and Jamie.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So that's okay. So then the next episode, they're all standing outside and they're getting shot at. So whoever's shooting at them misses.
Always getting shot at.
Always getting shot at. So June and a bunch of people are outside the dam, and they're getting shot at. And the guy misses, right? He misses terribly. It's amazing at car chases when they shoot really out the bad. Window. Yeah, but you ever notice when like the bad guys are behind the good guys and they shoot out the window? They shoot the back window out, right? And the back window breaks.
Yes.
And then the people in the front seat do like a half second duck.
Yep.
Like that matters because the bullet would have already been in you.
And they're fine.
They're fine. Where does the bullet go?
Exactly.
Once it goes through the back window, it's still going to keep going.
Out the front?
So I understand that it may deflect a little bit, but chances are it's going to hit one of the two people in the car. And if it doesn't, how come the bad guys were able to shoot the window one time, but they can't shoot in the window a second time? Right?
That's
this is my
true.
Problem. So this guy, somebody is shooting at them, shoots out the car windows, pew, pew, pew. And they go to chase him off, and they can't find him. We later find out, by the way, that he, you know, spoiler, he's John Dory's father. He's a former police officer and a marksman.
And he missed.
Yet he missed everyone.
He did.
And for some reason, he's shooting. He thinks they're the bad guys. He thinks our people are the mole people.
Oh, man.
Right? He thinks that they're Teddy's people. So, and he missed every one of them.
He really did.
I can understand missing the second one, but how do you miss the first one? Unless your gun is so old that the bullets go off to the side. But even then, if you're a marksman, you would account for the wind and the bullets going off to the side. You should be able to hit someone in a crowd of people. So I'm calling marksman bullshit.
Somebody, especially with, like you said, the first shot when they're not expecting
right.
it.
So then June goes looking for him and she finds a camper and it's got, you know, those the clippings on the wall. And the red string and all, you know, the typical detective stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know if it had red string, but it's that kind of wall.
Serial
killer, right. And then as she sees everything, of course, the guy walks in. It's John Dory's father. We don't know that right away, but spoiler, it's John Dory's father. Played by Keith Carradine, a great actor. Welcome to the show, Keith Carradine. Great actor. And,
great.
You know, yeah. You're like, oh, my God, you're because then she later on he sees her gun and it says JD on it. He says, that's my gun. So I get that he's going to be anywhere Teddy is because he's looking for Teddy. But Texas is a giant state.
Yeah.
Look,
huge
is he in the state. Area because he lived in that area? But if he's in the area looking for Teddy, apparently Teddy's been out of prison since the apocalypse started, right? They showed the backstory. Teddy gets out day one.
He's been out a long time.
Right? So if you've been looking for him for a long time and you're in the area where your house was... You wouldn't have run into, you wouldn't have gone back to the old general store. You wouldn't have run into your son, even though you weren't looking for him. I mean, they explained that he didn't want to see his son. I just feel like, you know, I mean, it took
kind of hard to believe.
It took 5 minutes to run into Cole. They didn't run into each other for five years. The apocalypse is going on. You don't run into your son, or nobody runs into him, and you find him after John's dead. As soon as Dory's dead, now his father shows up.
The second
I find that to be unbelievable coincidence, bullshit. I feel like if he showed up, if June met him and she's like, oh my God, you got to meet your son. And then John died. I'd go partial coincidence bullshit. But the fact that you lose the character on the show, that his father shows up. Hey, we need a strong male lead. All right, he's dead. Let's get another strong male lead. I know. Let's make his father pop up.
We'll just grab his dad.
Yeah. We'll have him after Teddy and Teddy's the bad guy. And again, it's do you, by the way, do you hear that sound? Did you hear my computer go? Do-do-do-do?
I did, but I keep hearing myself and my headphones back. Like,
no, that's
like
me then. That means my headphones are too loud. Or your headphones are crap.
Okay.
Are your headphones crap? I'll take it as a
no.
Maybe. Oh, okay. You had to think about it. Like, nah, I don't think so.
The station gave them to me brand new out of the box.
Nice. Then they have to be decent. Just about decent. Not great.
Audio
they don't give
Technica?
Out the great stuff. Who?
Audio Technica. That's who makes them.
That's the kind. That sounds like something you'd buy at Radio Shack when Radio Shack was open. Like the non-brand name.
Maybe. I don't know.
Was it
but
a giveaway?
Weird. Like, I hear myself delayed and that's when you answer me. No.
Oh, all right. Well, if they sound good, don't worry about it. I'm not saying don't go out and buy Audio Technica. They're just not a name I'm familiar with. So I'll have to go. I'll do the Google on them.
Me
that.
Either.
Yeah. All right. Well,
but now I'm using the Blue Nano Yeti, which is good.
The Nano Yeti. Oh, good. Good. Yes, of course. That's the good one.
Yes.
I don't have the... I have the regular Yeti. What's the Nano Yeti?
Yes.
Is the Nano Yeti smaller?
It's blue. It says blue right on it, and it's decent size. I have to hold it in my hand, though, because the stand they give me is, like, way low.
Uh-huh. So it's decent size. You hold it in your hand. Is it like the 10-inch Daryl Dixon or not so big?
Oh, God. A little smaller.
Oh, okay. Sorry for the microphone. I know you like a bigger microphone, if you know what I'm saying. All right. So anyway.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. Okay. So she finds John Dory's father and, you know, they become friends. They decide to team up and compare notes. And then he goes back to the general store. And then they go back to John Dory's house, which used to be his house. And the ranger is there, you know, from when they found John Dory. He's living there now, that guy.
Yes.
And then he's able to sneak up on John Dory Sr., on a police officer who's there to make sure he's not snuck up on. He beats the guy in a fight and then lets the guy shoot him in the back.
Oh, yeah.
You can't turn your back on it. Like, he saved him from the walker. He could have killed him. And he gets shot in the back. Right? So, good. And then June fixes John up. He got shot in the back. And then she's like, oh, yeah, he's fine now. I mean, he's an older guy. He's at least close to 70, it looks
like. Everyone that shot is just fine.
Yeah. Oh, June, you know, she's a nurse. She performed bullet surgery on him. He's fine. So then they go back to the dam. Morgan hates her. He blamed her for Grace's baby dying.
She left.
Like, we wouldn't have had to get in the car if you were here. And she storms off. Now she comes back with John's father. And she's like, hey, guess who I met? Oh, and Morgan's like, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. He's very excited to meet John Dory's father. Which was nice. And then she's like, hey, he's going to work with us. He's like, okay, great. Come on in. So he's already forgiven June.
That was fast.
Yeah. Oh, you got someone to break the ice? Well, come on in, June. Welcome back. Thought that was a little too easy. did you like the?
It was.
Did you like the JD episode?
I did like it. I'll be honest. He's a great actor, and I liked knowing more about his character.
Yeah, I think that's what made me not hate some of the bullshit. You know, like the bad shooting at the beginning. I really like him as an actor.
Yeah.
I thought his character was kind of like rugged Rick kind of character. You know, needs a shave. He's going to kill some people.
Yeah.
The Teddy backstory was interesting, how crazy Teddy is. And how, you know, the end is the beginning. He wants to...
I actually really like that backstory. That was really interesting.
Yeah, it helped understand Teddy's motivations. He's insane, obviously.
Crazy.
We've seen enough of those in the world. The cult leaders that people will do anything for. I like his character. So overall, I'd say the Grace episode was all right. It was all right. It was kind of like, meh. Seemed like it could have been 15, 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And then, the John Dory episode was much better. And then after the John Dory episode, we got a Talking Dead out of nowhere, right? We had a surprise Talking Dead episode.
Yeah, I was shocked. I'm like, wait, is this right? This is new?
And if my DVR, you know what? So here's what I do. So I usually watch on Thursday, and I wait until Sunday because they don't always put the sneak peek up on AMC Premiere. So I'll record the Fear episode, and I'll watch the end for the sneak peek. And then I saw Talking Dead was recorded. Huge bonus. This is fantastic. So nice to see Chris Hardwick back. He's not going to be back till the finale, but they told us he wasn't going to be back till the finale, and we got a bonus episode. So that was nice. And I feel like
maybe for
the finale, they'll be back in the studio. Maybe they'll be socially distanced back in the studio. We'll see.
Ooh.
That'd be nice.
They probably will be.
They probably will be. Okay, so, Jamie, we're going to take a quick break here. Before we do, though, I'm going to play you the audio of the present that I got from MIPS, Sebastian. Enjoy.
Oh,
we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, now. What is going on, beautiful people? My name is Sebastian Salzy, a.k.a. MIPS. I play Cole on Fear the Walking Dead. And you were listening to my pals, David Brody and Jamie, on the Walkers and Talkers podcast. Peace and love, everybody.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89.
Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, so how cool was that MIPS ID that we played before we went to commercial?
Oh, my God.
Well, he's my buddy. So there you go. There's a little more proof.
You got men. You know the guy.
He mentioned you two. He mentioned you two. We had him on. He's family. he's your MIPS, too. Yeah, so
he's part of the fam.
Yeah, part of the fam. Let's talk about, I'm going to call it the MIPS episode, because why not? Yes. Teddy decides to take...
Exactly.
Yeah, to take Alicia on a journey, right? He wants to open her eyes to whatever he wants her to see, the way he sees the world. And then a bus pulls up with new recruits. I guess new lost people, new lonely people, people looking for salvation, whatever. And Dakota gets off the bus. Now, she had told Morgan and the gang, I don't know, last episode before, that she wanted to help in any way she could. She felt she needed to help, blah, blah, blah. So she gets off the bus, and Alicia, like, doesn't want anything to do with her. She's like, I don't want to work with you. I don't want to know you. You're a terrible person. Yet, her best friend on the show is Charlie, who killed her brother. Like, you don't like Dakota because she killed Ginny, and you don't like Dakota because she killed John Dory. I get that. But you forgave Charlie for killing your brother Nick. And let's not forget, Nick and John Dory both wanted off the shows.
Yeah, that's a really
good
point.
So you can't blame Dakota. The guy wanted off, right? She was just just helping him out.
Yes.
So although Dakota is disturbed, is she any more disturbed from her childhood than Charlie was? And again, John Dory, not exactly buddy-buddy with Alicia. He did right by her when he could, but they weren't like her brother. So right away, she's like, Dakota's like, I'll work with you. We'll work together. And Alicia's like, Alicia can't kill him, even though Teddy and Riley are really the only people left alive in this group. Well, there's a few left. There's not a lot of them left. And he wants to indoctrinate Alicia, even though she wiped out his entire underground compound a few weeks ago.
Yep.
And so even though she's destroyed all, yes. I'm sure she killed a lot of his people and everything they built, he's like, you have the kind of determination I like, kid. You're fine. And Riley's like, what? What do you do? What?
I'll keep you.
I got a hole on my shoulder. And you're like, buddy, buddy. Okay. All right. Okay. So they take Alicia on this journey, on this Zen journey. And Teddy's whole thing is you're going to see the world in perspective. And they're taking her to the area where she lost her mother. So they're driving towards the stadium because he heard the tapes. He knows all about her. Where they all made those videotapes. Plus, they all were interviewed when they first got to the underground compound.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you know, your mother tried to set an example for you, but it doesn't mean anything. Where did it get you? Nothing. Didn't accomplish anything and whatever. Of course, what happens when they're driving in a car? The tires blow out because somebody put spikes in the road.
Shocking.
How do you not know you're not going to get anywhere you want to go? Wherever you're going, someone's going to stop you. So they get out of the car. Shortly thereafter, a guy with a gun shows up, and it's MIPS. It's MIPS. So I got excited. I'm like, it's Cole.
I couldn't believe it.
And so, and I'm like,
he
looks.
I screamed out MIPS out loud. Oh,
nice. I'm like, he looks badass. He did with the gun and the unshaven look, and he's grubby, and he had like a military kind of camo, like, you know, survival gear on, sort of. He He looked good. And they had the old couple from the stadium, right? Whatever their names were. Paul
Doug
and
Viv.
Doug and Viv, right. Thank you. Doug and Viv. And a bunch of other stragglers. Somehow, it's been a couple of years now, Doug and Viv, no problem. They've survived. Cole, Doug, and Viv. So Cole is playing it like, hey, I'm going to help you guys out. Be careful. There's some bad people around here. They hijack cars. And I've been on the road trying to stay alive. And your mother did so much for me. And you got to watch out for the bad guys. And then we find out he's the bad guys. He's the bad guys. And Doug and Viv and everybody come out to surround them. And they're the bad guys. Now.
They're the bad guys.
They're the bad guys. They're like, sorry, you know, you're only keeping you alive because, you know, your mom did so much for us. But we still turned out to be rotten people. You know, because that's the only way you can survive.
Yeah.
We tried it your mom's way. It didn't work. And now we're animals on the road scavenging. So their way of life has worked. And Doug and Viv are alive. Okay? Everyone's alive. Doug and Viv and Cole. And anyone else is dead. But Doug and Viv and Cole are alive. But they run into our gang, which means they're not going to last long. And so he threatens to kill Teddy. Oh, let's go back. The whole episode's called Mother. And part of the journey, they drive to a mausoleum, and he takes a corpse out of a wall, and he says it's his mother, right?
Yeah.
And he wraps her gently into
a
blanket.
And he kissed her, like, all over.
Right. And he puts her in the back of a pickup truck, and the body falls out when the tires get slashed. And he's like, oh, my God, mother, oh, my God.
Yes.
And so she's laying on the ground.
So
anyway, I wanted to put that in there because it comes up a little bit later. And so Mips says, I want to know where your supplies are. You guys are talking like, you know, you have like this, you're going to be enough food and stuff for years. I want it. I want in on that. And Alicia's like, dude, my mother saved you. Like, what are you doing? Now, remember, Cole was had a thing for Strand. He wasn't that great killing walkers. He was all right. But now he's like supposed to be badass, right? And it reminded me of the Morales episode. In The Walking Dead, where a guy shows up you thought was long gone, and then you try to relate to him by mentioning all the old people.
Yes.
And she's like, you know, and you know, Nick's dead, but Luciana's alive, and Strand, and all your old friends. And he was like, that's great. I don't really care about those people. The same way Morales didn't really care about those people. And he said, like, you think you're going to mention old people and names that we shared like a moment in time that's going to like change who I am? And you know, Mips was like, that's great. Yeah, great. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. We planted some corn and and then those crazy people stood outside and waited for us to die. And then your mother's dead. So he doesn't say that her mother's dead. He just keeps saying she did so much for us. She did so much for us. Never mentioned she's alive.
Yeah.
Now, they must have driven off when the fire started, which, again, I told you when this happened, we never saw them die. They made it look like they were dead. They put them in the in memoriam, and they're like, they were dead. Why were they dead? They were in cars. They drove away. They didn't sit in the fire and burn and die. They drove off. So they wouldn't know if Madison was alive or dead, except they made it a point to say, and Jamie, I'll let you finish in a sec. They made it a point to say that we've been in the area for a long time, and they've basically been pirating people, like attacking them and taking their stuff. So they would have run into Madison if she was alive, wouldn't they? Maybe. Everybody else runs into everybody else.
I think so. It would be hard to not run into her if she were still alive.
Right. So a lot of articles are being written on the Walking Dead sites that say, well, she can't be alive now because they would have run into her. Or they would have come back for her. They would have they would have found her. They would have, you know, everybody finds everybody. But nope. Nope, no mention of her.
Except John Dorian is son.
Right. They of course, they find each other. Right. And Dwight travels cross-country, finds Sherry, Morgan, everybody. With no maps, no nav, nothing, finds everybody. Right? Everyone goes to the same town.
No nav.
Right, no nav. No Waze. No Waze app on their phone. And so Mips has them in a little lineup. They're on their knees. And Teddy's whole thing is, hey, you're not going to kill me because it's all going to work out. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be great. And, you know, Mips is got them at gunpoint. And then it's been a couple of weeks already, but MIPS, the walkers, okay, walkers start coming up out of nowhere, right? They're coming out of the woods, and they have to fight them off. And so
yeah, a lot of
Teddy
them.
Fights them off with, like, as an old man who could barely fight. He's pushing them. He kills them. Alicia kills them. Dakota's killing them, right? And Doug and Viv.
Yep.
Doug and Viv, who have survived the apocalypse for years, now...
They're like a cockroach.
Right. Now they can't fight off walkers. They let walkers walk up behind them, throw them up against cars, and eat them.
Right. Oh, my God. I can't believe that scene.
They made Doug and Viv red shirts. They made everybody who wasn't Cole a red shirt. So everyone died in the walker fight except Cole and the stars of the show. Again, I'm calling a little bit of bullshit.
Yep.
I'm calling MIPS bullshit. MIPS shit. Because how do the walkers know not to eat Cole? They go right for Doug and Viv. And again, Doug and Viv have guns. How did Doug and Viv get taken by walkers? From behind.
That's so true.
And at some point, like, Doug was up against the glass on the car, which, by the way, thanks for that, so we could see through the window and see him getting...
Oh.
But the walker's on his back.
Oh, that was awful.
He, like, was, like, screaming, and, like, it was, like, it seemed like 10 minutes before the walker actually bit him. Like, you couldn't, like, squat down or like, push off the car, and, like, it just... They just gave up. Doug and Viv. Oh, Doug and Viv. So Doug and Viv.
Doug and Viv.
Doug and Viv Doug no and longer Viv. Live. That's my bomb for the day.
All right. I love that.
So then Cole is you know, in a gun standoff with Alicia. He's got the bigger gun, right? He's already talked about he doesn't care about that.
Yep.
He's like, I don't care about you. Your mother, I did you a favor, but now you're not helping me out here. You're not going to tell me where the supplies are. He doesn't shoot her. He's like, listen, you know, we don't need to go down this road. He's trying to reason with her. And she's like, ah, fuck you, Cole. And she shoots MIPS. Shoots him.
Oh.
It's not right. Yeah. I wanted to see Walker MIPS. I wanted to see him, like, you know, reanimate later.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't get to be a Walker. Oh, one more thing I forgot. Let's backtrack a little bit. Or let's backtrack a little bit if you prefer. How about when he says, I'm going to make you talk, Teddy. And he goes to shoot the skeleton of his mother. He goes, I know how to make you talk. I've been watching how you were so upset when she fell out of the back of the truck. And he says, I'm going to shoot her. He goes, go ahead. So he shoots the skull in the head, wasting a bullet, right, in the apocalypse. You could have just stomped her skull.
Oh, my God.
And he's
her
like,
face blew up.
Right. And he's like, yeah, that's not my mother. And Alicia's like, what? That's not your mother. What? That's how what crazy Teddy like, is. He killed some, he kissed some random skeleton. So yeah, he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. So as soon as MIPS is dead, if I remember correctly, then Dakota pulls a gun on Alicia. Because Alicia pulls a gun on Teddy. She's like, okay, you're next. Like, what are your plan? What's the plan? What are you planning on doing? And he's like, you've earned it. I'll tell you what I'm doing. And he tells her, he's like, oh, I'm going to get a nuclear warhead, blow up everything. And Dakota pulls the gun on her.
He just told her, like, he was talking about the weather.
Yeah, and then Dakota is like, I was looking for a fresh start. I thought I was going to get it with John and with Morgan and whatever, but I didn't. Yeah, because you killed John. Like, you need a fresh start. She's like, this is my chance to get a fresh start. She doesn't care who gives her a fresh start as long as someone gives her a fresh start. So,
as long as she gets it.
Yeah. So she turned on Alicia. So at this point now, the kid's got to die. She's got to die. You can't keep crossing the line.
Yeah, she's got to go.
Charlie killed Nick, but then she was okay. Then she was like, listen, he killed my... I mean,
Dakota
Nick killed
just
her.
Continues to be a little nut job.
Yeah, she's got to go. We already have Charlie. I don't need... I know I'm forgetting this. What happened to all the kids? Are the kids in one of Ginny's camps?
Remember
all the kids in the treehouse? Did I forget what happened to them?
Oh, yeah. I was just thinking.
Didn't they take the beer balloon?
What did happen to them? They were a lot of the survivor kids from the...
where are they?
With radiation. I don't know where they went.
Yeah, all right. All right, you know what? Listen, I'm going to look it up so you don't have to tweet me. I'll know by the time you hear this. I just thought of them. I haven't thought of them in a while. I know you guys know because you're paying attention and I'm out of it. Just completely these days. I don't need any more kids on the show is my point. No more kids. And I love kids, but... Yeah, how many can you have on the show?
No more.
Okay. then Teddy's men show up, take Alicia hostage. Dakota's now one of the bad guys. Riley takes them to an old hotel that, according to story and legend, that in the 40s, they built a bomb shelter, a huge bomb shelter, under the hotel because it was during the war and they wanted to make sure it was safe. And so Teddy says, there's enough supplies. It's huge. It's better than ever. And we can live there for years, right? We're going to live there. So he puts Alicia in a room, locks her in a room and says, you know, we're going to go do our mission. We're probably all going to die. But you have what it takes to rebuild society. You bring hope. You always believe in hope and love and there's a better way. And that's what's going to save humanity. We'll kill as many people as possible and you'll restart society. Here's the thing, though. I don't know how powerful the nuclear weapon is on the submarine. But to my knowledge, there's no nuclear weapon that can eradicate all of America. So even if you blow up half of Texas and then the radiation travels and you kill some more people, what you think the people in California and North Dakota are going to go, oh, yeah, Alicia, she brings hope. She'll be in charge. No. If anything, she'll start a bunch of people
absolutely
in Texas.
Not.
Right. No one's going to be like, oh, the guy who blew everything up thinks you should be our leader. Why should we trust the guy who blew everything up? So,
and who's going to let her out of there?
Right. Someone has to be alive to let her out. I don't know if they thought through that through. Right.
Exactly.
So they go off to the submarine now to get in the submarine and launch the nuclear weapons. Obviously, Riley and Teddy have no intention of surviving unless they feel like they can put it on time release and get back to the basement in time, right? Because I don't know how far the submarine is from the hotel, right? That they can get back in time. I have a feeling they don't care. I think that Riley's decided to give his life for the cause, right? And then Morgan and everyone, they're all headed to the submarine. The next week's episode or this week's episode takes place in the submarine trying to stop them, right? And then there's an episode after that. Well, the only way there's an episode after that is if much of the cast gets back to the hotel bunker and survives the nuclear explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm going to say. So part of me says, how could the nuclear bomb have gone off and the rest of the country didn't hear about it? In other words, the World Beyond people haven't talked about it. And the Walking Dead cast, right? You're telling me in the span of 7 years, right? Because The Walking Dead is 7 years ahead.
Yeah.
Okay? That nobody from that part of the country came east to get away from the nuclear explosion and told the story where someone on The Walking Dead would have been like, man, that nuclear weapon that blew up 7 years ago. I just feel like there would have been some radiation. Like, you can't go back and change it now. Because The Walking Dead didn't write their show knowing that the Fear Walkers were going to set off a bomb.
True.
Part of me says they are going to be able to do it. And that will cause the remaining surviving members of the show, like Dakota will die in the blast, right? But the main cast, the ones that are at least with Morgan, will go back to the hotel and live in underground. Now, I looked this up. Nuclear material can last anywhere from 1 to 5 years in the atmosphere, in the air. So they would have to live in that hotel for at least 5 years, which means you'd have a time jump at the end of the season. So if they live there 5 or 6 years, now you're a little closer to The Walking Dead. Now people could cross back over, or they could run into Daryl and Carol for the spinoff and be on the Daryl and Carol show.
Oh my God.
Right? So I think they're gonna They may set off the nuke, or what they might do is they think the nuke's going to go off. They go and live underground, not knowing the nuke didn't go off because there's no way to know. Because if they look outside, they would be exposed to radiation. And maybe they live underground thinking that the bomb went off for 5 years.
That's craziness.
Because otherwise, you have to level that part of Texas. And that means every shot you take has to be flat land. Because the nuclear bomb would level. I mean, that area of Texas doesn't have skyscrapers, so all the little gas stations and general stores would be gone. If you could explain a nuclear bomb going off, God bless you. But that would explain a time jump of that many years and nobody dying and nothing really happening because they were underground, safe, with no walkers. Unless someone died of, like, old age.
That explains it perfectly. Perfectly.
So, I'm not going to say what was said, but Ian Goldberg, one of the showrunners, I think that's his name, said something about Alicia that is leading people to think he's giving away whether or not the bomb goes off. I'm not going to say what that was, because I'm running independent of that.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not paying attention to it. Okay? Now, okay. I teased earlier that I thought Madison can't come back now because Cole would have seen her, right? What if Mips is such a prick that he thinks she is alive but didn't tell Alicia because he wanted her to feel demoralized so that she would take him back to where they live and where they have supplies? Because if he said, your mother's alive, she wouldn't go, she would like look for her mother, right? Or she want them to go find her.
Oh my God.
So what if he knows that she's alive, right? What if she was alive maybe 3 years ago or 2 years ago and hasn't seen her since? So I think most likely she's not alive because he would have said something. But what if he's such a prick, you know, he's not mentioning it? Because he could have. He could have said, don't shoot me. I know where your mother is.
Oh, that's awful.
So I don't know. I don't think they're bringing her back. I think the show's doing well again where they don't need to do that kind of thing. Here's an idea.
Yeah.
You show her coming up over a mountain, right? You show her finally finding them, and then the bomb goes off, and you see her get obliterated by the nuclear blast. How about that?
Oh, my God. That can't happen. That can't happen.
But that'd be a good way to, like, oh, she's back. Evaporated.
Mips is back. Bye.
Or she sees them go into the bunker, and she's banging on the door. Let me in. Let me in. Let me in. And then she gets...
Oh, my God.
Vaporized. Oh, no. That'd be some way to write her out.
Oh, God.
Like, once and for all. Like, you see her, and you're like, Madison's back.
That'd be insane.
Boom. That's the way she should go out. That's my idea.
That would be a sick way to go out.
I should be writing for the show. That's my idea. Bring her back.
Really, honest to God, you really should be. You really should be.
There you go. All right. So listen, thank you everyone for tweeting us, asking for the new episodes and being patient and demanding free dessert and everything else that you guys, I'm very sorry. I hope we can do an episode next week and the week after so that we, you know, to finish off the season on time. If our schedules line up, Jamie. All right, Jamie, listen, three episodes briefly recapped. If this is your first episode of listening to this podcast, this is not the typical podcast. We normally break the episodes down a lot more in detail.
No.
But it's been a time. So thank you again for your patience and welcome aboard if you're just listening to us. Normally, it's a little more cohesive.
And thank you for your loyalty.
Yeah, thank you. So, Jamie, I don't want to forget. Before we get out of here, I want to thank Nicholas Young and the Nico Time on Twitter. He said, I spotted this in town and thought of you guys, and it is a car window, and in the bottom left of the rear window, somebody put like white lettering so that they must have customized it themselves, and on the back window it says, I will shut that shit down, no exceptions, on the window.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you the picture, and I'll send you, Jamie, I'm going to send you both pictures, and you can tag the person. Don't post my screenshot, but post the picture of the back of the car, and you can put it on our Walkers and Talkers account since you're in charge of posting on that one. And,
yes, I absolutely will.
You'll have the picture in a second. You'll see it. So I thought that was really cool that he thought of us and that someone put them in the back of their car. Do you see the picture yet?
Oh, I want that for my car.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know if it's pre-made, but it's perfectly lettered and spaced out. So maybe it's pre-made. You can Google that, Jamie. You can find that for your car. So that
really
reminds me.
It really is perfectly made.
Yes. Thank you, Nico, for sending me that. But it's a good reminder, Jamie, that it is now time.
What time is it?
It's time to shut this shit down.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.